Blog Talk Radio.
Number 12, January 23rd, 2012. I'm your host, Tom Riedel, and in the background is Robin Eduardo, and we'll bring her out in just a second. And a brief intro to today's show. We are going to have Craig Murray on, who wrote a very interesting book called The Forgotten Man. And, of course, we're looking forward to that. Craig will be on the show about quarter after the hour. Now I will tell you where to find us on the internet. The Writer's Lounge blog at tomriedel.com/blog. You can go there to review a lot of the books that I've reviewed over the past several months. And also in that page, at the top right-hand corner, you can see the Blog Talk Radio player. So when you go in there to review an author, you can also listen to the show for that author. Excuse me while I... take a break here. Facebook link is on the Blog Talk Radio site. You go there and like us, please. We're moving up the numbers, and we're reaching for 1,000. Right now, I think we're somewhere around 810. So we got to move those numbers up, and only you can do it. So please go over there and like us and tell all your friends about us and listen to the show. It's a lot of fun. You can also contact us, email TWL11@yahoo.com. And now I would like to let you know that next week we will have on Brian Anderson and his son Jonathan as they talk about their book, The Godling Chronicles. Looking forward to that. You know, Brian's a big favorite listener of the Blog Talk Radio show here at the Writer's Lounge. And we're looking forward to having Brian and his son on. This part of the broadcast, I'd like to let you know that we will be taking callers. Last week, we had a lot of callers. And if you would like to give us a call, you can do that at 626-213-5613 or toll-free at 877-878-1436. Please hold your calls until the author gets on the air, and then we'll let you know when we can open up those lines for you here at the switchboard at Blog Talk Radio. Now I'd like to introduce my show host, Robin Eduardo. How you doing, Robin?
Hey. Pretty good.
And I hear you got a little...
Now I'm nursing a sore throat, so don't mind me.
Well, it's catching, and I've been dealing with this cough here probably well over 2 months, and we're working on the doctor here, and I've got to give her a call. She's going to give me an inhaler, so... If my speech seems a little screwed up, it's because I'm sucking on cough drops while I'm talking, and it's not a really easy thing to do when you're trying to sound clear, so we'll work with that. So what else is going on in your life since last week?
Nothing much other than battling our big Gigunda snowstorm that we had all of maybe 1 or 2 inches of snow.
You had some ice too, though, right?
Yeah, it was very slick. Roads, because when the plows would go through and clear it, it would freeze right up. So it wasn't so much the accumulation of snow, but the conditions weren't really good for driving. So I kind of was running around the last, yesterday and today, and then of course the football game and all that
Are you a Giants fan?
My husband's a 49ers fan. I'm not a fan of football, so I have no opinion in either direction. But you know, the 49ers lost, so.
Hey, I just had a thought. Sorry to keep bringing this up, but you are the zombie diva. So I was just thinking, what do zombies do in the wintertime when it's so cold out?
Well, that's my theory anyway, that zombies, they freeze if it's, you know, if the temperatures do get cold enough, like any other. I mean, you're from northern New York, the same as I, so you know when people go hunting and they hang, in the wintertime, they hang the animals to bleed them out up in the trees. And
sure.
The meat is frozen, so, I mean, it just makes sense that a zombie would just freeze, and then you can have fun. I suppose in the wintertime, people who are in the northern climes could kind of run around the woods sneaking up. Well, you wouldn't even have to sneak up on random frozen zombies and use a baseball bat or something and just kind of knock their blocks off.
There you go. So the zombies will be hanging their food stores in trees, it sounds like, until maybe spring?
I don't know.
Of course, they don't
it's
really
just a weird idea that I've kind of considered, you know, when you go on the different zombie-related websites and people talk about, you know, things about how, you know, how could you kill a zombie in different ways. And I always try to think of the different, more amusing, creatively amusing ways of destroying a zombie. And that was one of the things that I did think about, is that in the wintertime they freeze up and you could just go around and just... You know, since you have to destroy the brain, I mean, just knock their heads off. It'd be pretty simple, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when they're frozen stiff like that, they should break off really easy.
Yeah, right. And the thing is in the wintertime, you know, you have those long, dark winter. You get kind of like stir crazy, so it would relieve the stress as well.
Yeah, we have a little bit of that going on in Minnesota, although our winters here, like most people in the country, we're experiencing very mild winters, but
yeah.
We dipped below the zero mark here a couple of times in the last week. So we finally got our winter back. This is the Minnesota that everybody knows and loves, where sunshine is shining above and there's blue sky around and maybe 2 or 3 inches of snow on the ground. But other than that, we're doing pretty good out here. And I am not missing winter this year. I've kind of taken a break from the winter appetite, if you will, because I always love the winter time, but not this year for some reason. And I think I know what the reason is, and everybody knows I've been going through some difficulty. So let's make it as easy as possible for me and spring me right into the springtime. I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I know. I hear that.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to, if you haven't got anything to talk about as far as writer's topics besides frozen zombies, I'd like to talk about something, if it'd be okay.
Sure.
And the book that we're going to be reviewing tonight is by, of course, Craig Murray. It's called A Forgotten Man, and it's based on a story about a man who ends up becoming homeless. And I'll let you hear the details as we introduce the author. But as many of you out there know, I spent several years battling homelessness and depression back in the early 90s. And I would like to read to you something that I think is appropriate for tonight's show. And it's in the last page of my memoir. So a little bit of a boost for my memoir here, which is Pieces of My Path. You can find it on Amazon.com. And my name, of course, is Tom Rydell. But that last page and that last paragraph that I wrote goes like this, and I would like to pass this on to everybody who is out there maybe struggling with some depression or struggling with other issues in their lives. But I wrote, "Treasures are valuables which life can offer up in both material and non-material form. I believe that someone's life experience can be a treasure, and that these experiences, through stories, are meant to be passed on. But if there is no one to pass these stories to, the essence of one very important human life could die out, and this person and his or her life could be lost to the long, endless thread of time. Even if there is no one to relay a story to, I believe it still must be left, and eventually, hopefully, it will be found someday by someone else in need. That is why this memoir is important to me. And it's important to me to pass on my experiences of depression so that others may find something of value in their lives when they are faced with tough times. I have no children to pass my life story on to, so I will be completely satisfied if, say, for instance, my book 50 years from now is being shared by persons in the back alley of a homeless shelter. My only hope would be that someone might find some of the words I wrote helpful and inspiring, and that it might lead them out from under the dark clouds which once consumed me. It doesn't get much darker than where I was, but life can change, and life can be a truly wonderful thing if you dare to give it a chance. I was lucky. I hope others will have the courage and determination to emerge from the path on which I walked. So that's the last part of the book, and I think, once again, it's going to tie right in with the show tonight, which wasn't a memoir and it wasn't nonfiction, but it was a fictional story about a man who went through struggles that many of us, I believe, can relate to. And we're really looking forward to having the author on tonight, Craig Murray. And we got him hooked up with Skype, and we'll be bringing him on in just a second. But before we do that, I would also like to let you know, if I didn't do it in the beginning, and I didn't, but we will be opening up show dates here within the next several weeks for openings after April for all new authors of their books. So, Robin, we're looking forward to doing that, and I've been telling everybody to tune in to listen up for those dates. Do you have any, I'm sure you have people in mind that you can bring on the show, but any ideas on that process?
Well, not necessarily ideas. I do know that I've been trying to promote it a little bit. Sherry, you know, our friend Sherry Gambino and I, we both run a group on Facebook, Kindle Horror Book Readers. And, you know, there's a lot of authors there. So, of course, it's horror, sci-fi, fantasy mostly. I mean, we're pretty open and lenient with it doesn't have to be specifically horror. So, you know, we do have quite a few writers on there that we can, you know, we could approach them about doing, you know, an interview. And, you know, again, I'm a member of a lot of different forums and places where authors congregate, and not necessarily within the horror genre either. So, you know, I think that we could probably, you know, build the list. We wouldn't be hurting at all.
No,
for,
we're not.
As
we're,
far
we've
as, you know,
got,
finding
we've
people.
Actually got quite a few emails already.
Exactly.
And I have to meet up with you or talk to you at some point and let you know what I've gotten in, because people are responding, and I love the response that we're getting to the program and to the, you know, the show content that we're doing here. Once again, we're open to nonfiction and fiction authors out there of any book that you've written that you'd like to have on the Writer's Lounge. And I would ask that you kind of hold off on your emails for the time being. You can send in emails, of course, anytime, but if you're going to promote a book, kind of hold off and wait for the announcement to come and then send it in. I don't want the ones that have already been sent in to get buried in a pile where I can't get to them, which isn't going to happen, by the way. If you have sent an email, I will get to you, but I prefer waiting for that magic time when we open up the doors to let you flood into the email, and that would be probably the appropriate time to do that. So anyway,
and we wouldn't want to offend anybody either by, you know, if we forget or miss an email, obviously, and they get buried under the pile because people have been, you know, sending emails in all this time, then, you know, I know that personally I would not want to offend somebody if I have actually discussed with them, hey, you know, you want to be on the show, and then I forget that, oh, yeah, I talked to you months ago.
Exactly.
So,
we're looking forward to that, and I really can't wait because we've got people lined up now, and there's a lot of talent out there. And, and from the books that I've reviewed, I've been very impressed with the quality and the attention especially with somebody so critical as I am when I review the books that have already come in. I'm very impressed with the quality of the authors and their stories. So keep them coming, folks. Keep writing. Don't give up. Keep your dream alive. And always, of course, listen to the Writer's Lounge. And Robin and I will be here for a long period of time to come, I hope, unless Robin gets eaten by a zombie. So we'll keep it going. So anyway, on tonight's show, the book, The Forgotten Man, was written by Craig Murray and published by Amazon Digital Services, which I was told was a mistake, and we'll have Craig correct that if that's indeed the fact. You may purchase it at Amazon.com/Kindle, and you can visit the author over at themurraygroup.com. And the way the Amazon site promotes the book, they say, have you ever wished you could find that magic reset button that would erase all your past mistakes? Andrew awakens in a park with no recollection as to how he got there. He calls home and finds that his wife doesn't know who he is anymore. He is a stranger to everyone, an outcast from his own life. The Forgotten Man is 9 days in a man's life, and who he is when everyone and everything he thought he was has disappeared. It is an affirmation of how much one has when they have nothing, as much as it is an answer to the question, if you could erase the past, would you? And that was the Amazon take on his book. Imagine waking up and absolutely everyone around you that you have known your whole life has no clue who you are. Andrew McGregor has somehow re-entered a world where all of his memories of a decent life are still intact, but that's all he has and no one believes his story. He is virtually propelled into a world without an identity, and he is forced to face the squalor and bleakness of living and trying to survive on the streets. Being homeless is a dark and terrifying challenge for thousands of people, but getting back to a productive and happy life is possible for many of them if they can just endure the hardships and the difficult and frustrating bureaucracy of our society. Moving from one government agency to another, standing in long lines and filling out countless forms will eventually move most into some kind of help. But that's only if what you enter on those forms, such as your birth date and social security number, are correct and in a database. If your whole past life has been completely erased away, there will be no record, and the scornful and distrustful looks that you will receive from social workers and others will be plenty, and you will soon find yourself back out on the streets. As I said from earlier, as someone who has been through the plight of being homeless and in desperate need of help, I can relate completely to the troubles and challenges that Andrew faces. Andrew is finally forced to stand before a looming precipice where he will have to make a decision. What will it be? The tale will grip you and move you and waken you. The story leaves unanswered a few very important questions, which I hope will be forthcoming in a future installment. But it's a story worth reading. The author does a wonderful job of showing us what a life can be like when we have nothing, but it's only during those hard and very difficult times that we are able to find our true treasures in life. And with that, I'd like to bring on Craig Murray. And Craig, are you there?
I am, Tom. Good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. And Robin, Craig is, Craig, where are you from? Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Toronto in Canada.
Okay. How's your weather up there?
I'm originally from Scotland.
I recognize the accent.
Yeah, I'm originally a Scot.
Alrighty. And we were wondering from The Forgotten Man, which I just got done completing a reading, we're wondering if you'd like to read an excerpt from The Forgotten Man.
Certainly. I thought I would start at the beginning. And,
okay.
Hopefully, and not go all the way to the end.
Okay. All right. Go for it, Craig.
Rooftop. The thin aluminum coping at the edge of the roof creaked and groaned under his weight. He could barely hear the pinging sound of the metal under stress as he corrected his stance. Small minor movements of his feet, barely perceptible, Angular movements of his ankles kept him balanced in place against the wind that threatened to blow him over the edge. Looking far below him, he could see the street, a gray-black ribbon that throbbed with the movement of all the traffic and people that scurried about in search of their lives. A strong gust of wind hit him squarely in the back, and for a brief, panic-filled moment, he flailed his arms and arched until he once again regained his balance. As soon as the moment was over, he cursed himself, wondering why the hell he did not just allow the wind to do its job and hurtle him to the ground in awaiting oblivion. The only thing that ran into his mind was Candide by Voltaire. A character in the book said that no matter how bad life is, we cannot bring ourselves to end it because there is always the hope that it might get, if not better, at least tolerable. Bull, he thought. Closing his eyes, he straightened himself up and stretched his arms out to his sides. He looked like some diver about to make his Olympic trial or Jesus on the cross. The heat from the coping spread through the soles of his shoes as a cool wind whipped about his head, drying the tears that had streaked his face. He came up here to die, or at least to commit the act that would make him die. The building was certainly tall enough, and the hard concrete out front was perfect for landing on. It was made all the more so by virtue of the fact it was surrounded by construction boarding. The tall wooden fence had been erected by the contractor to delineate where they were working on some new addition. He could crash into that area and hurt no one else. He may not want to live, but he sure as hell didn't want to go out as a murderer after smashing into some poor, unsuspecting sod that just happened to be out walking by. So there he stood, waiting at the edge of the abyss, so to speak. He couldn't bring himself to actually take the final step, couldn't force that foot out over the edge and follow it, so he waited for the wind. He just betrayed himself once by correcting after that last gust, but he was beyond caring or beating himself up over it. There would be more gusts, and one of them, that was all he needed, would shove him hard enough that he would soon be tumbling downwards. How did he end up here? What could possibly make him violate that first rule of every species, namely survival, and send him onto a rooftop waiting for a gust of wind that would kill him? Even now as he thought about it, he could hardly make sense of it. It didn't make sense. It was like he was the starring character in some horrible Twilight show that would not end.
Wow.
And that's my opening.
Well, Craig, I got to tell you, when I read that part of the book, I actually got a chill down my spine. And you'd have to read my book to understand the comparisons there with that story and how it was told, because I don't want to reveal too much, but it was a lot like a scene in my memoir. And I really appreciate you obviously understanding in some capacity the plight that a lot of us people who have suffered some depression and been homeless are faced with every day. And I really, really was amazed at the wording in that section of your book. But anyways, what I'd like to do is to ask you, how long have you been a writer, and what inspired you to write The Forgotten Man?
I've been writing and dabbling and making little stories my entire life. I don't remember a time that I wasn't. I didn't start to think of it profession until I was into my early 30s. But, you know, I was always the storyteller. I was always the one that made up stories. And I think with The Forgotten Man, we've all had those episodes in our lives that we do wish there was a big undo button. And the, you know, if you could just undo one mistake that you'd made however many years ago, or a mistake you made decades back, or even just weeks back, and how much better things might be. But as I thought about it, I thought, not only would you undo that one bad thing, but you'd also undo any of the good things that had happened in between times as well. And that's where the real loss would come in. And Andrew, for whatever reason, got an undo button. And he got everything that went with it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's What do you got? What's your name? Robin.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I want to apologize real quickly about my dogs barking in the background, too. They're so bad. But I was very... I was enraptured by, you know, you just listening to your voice, actually, to be honest with you, as you were, you know, reading the opening of your book, and that was really cool to hear. Would you say that there's any kind of like parallels between Andrew and yourself? You know, is there anything that like did you? I don't want to get into your personal business. But is there anything in your life specifically, either directly or indirectly, that influenced you to think about this, creating this character and to build this story upon?
Now, if you want a list of bad decisions I've made, how long is this show?
No. Everybody's had bad decisions. Yeah. But you know what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think there is that in sort of, if you review your own life, if you review what you do, if you're one of those sort of people who tends to look inside or go over and over again some of the things that you've done, at least I do, you'll get stuck thinking, if only. And
mm-hmm.
Andrew really, in many ways, is me. He's doing very much the same sort of things that I would do, you know, by and large.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very personal bits of me hidden throughout the story.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't think nothing, thankfully, you know, knock on wood, nothing quite as earth-shattering as to, you know, warrant a complete redo or do-over,
uh-huh.
you know, per se.
Uh-huh. Do you have any experience with... actual homelessness or, I mean, I should maybe reword that question because, again, I don't want you to reveal anything that might be too personal. I'm not asking for you to go that far. But is there possibly any type of thing in your past, perhaps, that you relate to or were inspired to write the story from? I mean, is there some type of real life... I can't think of how I want to ask this question. Were you ever homeless?
Yeah, I'm going to go to them and say, you know, there, that one, you know, crashing thing that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And no, there isn't. There wasn't
mm-hmm.
any great loss. I think what it was there are all sorts of little things. There are all sorts of things which were, of course, huge to me, but, you know, wouldn't mean a hill of beans to anyone else. And I think one of the big things was the understanding of it, of thinking, what would it be like for a person? How isolated
mm-hmm.
would you end up being? And there were plenty of programs, plenty of examples, and plenty of people that you'd meet and talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to coin a phrase, you know, there but for the grace of God go I.
That's right.
Where you'd hear of a person living a completely normal life and all of a sudden it's shattered and there was nothing left for them.
Right.
Yeah.
And even, you know, all of the sort of social safety nets or personal safety nets or anything else we've built in our life, how quickly they all vanish.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's if you ever know, you know, you're the old woman down the street whose husband dies and all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks after the funeral, nobody's talking to her.
Yeah.
You know, she's forgotten as well.
Yeah.
And it was seeing things like that that all added together to make the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, you know, you've really written something that delves into the whole psychology, you know, that mindset of somebody who has gone through such a traumatic experience. And it's even more traumatic. It's not just a matter of him being homeless, but, completely having his whole life, his whole past wiped, and, you know, he's on a reset, and, yeah, it's really interesting.
Some of the big things that stuck in my head was I thought, I'm a professional, how would I prove that? You can't go and say, well, I worked for this architect and I've worked for this engineering company
right.
and I've done these projects. Yeah. No, I haven't.
Well, I can, Craig, I can tell you, you hit it right on the head there in that first scene from somebody who was there, believe me, and I'm talking to you figuratively and literally on the roof of a building, contemplating jumping to his death and thinking about the people that he would take out as you hit the ground and where are you going to hit. It's an amazing experience, and like I say, I don't want to steal the show from you, but you apparently, from what I'm getting from you right now, is that you didn't do a lot of research here as far as talking to somebody who might have been in that position, or maybe have you. Did you have to speak to somebody, or did you just kind of grab it out of the air and just surmise what would happen with somebody in that position?
A little column B. You know, both using, you know, personal experiences and my own traumas and tragedies and, you know, talking to somebody, I've listening to other people's tales and other people's issues and hearing about everything. You get that amalgam, you get that opportunity to take all of these different stories and all the different emotions and pains and tears and everything that go with them. And what you hope to do is bring out some sense of compassion, some sense of,
yeah,
you know, it can't be easy. It's not easy. People do suffer. Some people suffer, you know, at their own hand and, you know, for their own fault. Other people, you know, have it thrust upon them. There's all of these terrible things that can happen. And realistically, anybody who's in a troubling situation, they become a gray person, they become background. We can
mm-hmm.
spend untold hours watching all the shiny, sparkly people on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have somebody who's hurting, I don't want to deal with them just now. You know, I don't want to
mm-hmm.
look at them, get the, you know, that person's
yeah.
smelly and they're not
yeah.
wearing designer
yeah.
clothes.
Well, it's like the guy that you pass on the street that's holding out the sign, and you feel for them, but not very many people stop to drop a quarter in their bucket. And
yeah, some
you know,
people
that,
walk
they,
right by it. As
yeah.
if they're nothing, just a graffiti on the wall. You know, it
yeah.
doesn't mean anything to them to see human suffering right in front of their faces.
I actually had a little bit of a neat discussion with a gentleman who was homeless coming out of a mall here in Minnesota. And I ended up giving him a $20 bill. And we had a nice little conversation before the light turned green. And what I found, and not to my surprise, because I was in this position at one time in my life, but he was a very intellectual kind of person, very articulate in his speech. But anybody else passing him by, and I imagine it would be a lot like your character Andrew in the story, he had a lot of experience in the world, and he was a very productive person who added to life and added to the community. This gentleman that I spoke to, I wished him well, and I wished him Godspeed in the future. And I know that $20 bill probably went very fast when he went, and I didn't think that he was the type of person to spend it on booze. But like Andrew did in the story, you have to find ways to, you have to look for the things that you really need and kind of shove away the things that you want. So I found that pretty neat that you connected in that area. Craig, when you write your stories, this kind of interested, especially with this story, where do you go and write? What's your writing rituals like?
If I have any, you know, preset rituals. I know some people are very focused and they have to set things up a very specific way and, you know, the moon has to be above this branch and stuff. All I really need is quiet, which, you know, isn't always the easiest thing to get. A lot of times I'll go out for a drive and with the wonders of laptops and everything else like that, I can sit in my car down by the lake. I live just a couple of minutes away from Lake Ontario.
Oh, cool.
So I can just drive and stare out over the lake, and right until the police show up and tap in my windows, ask me what I'm doing.
I'm looking at porn.
Yeah. I've had a few.
I'm a writer.
Conversations.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you said
that
before, you get a more natural look than saying I'm a writer. They go, huh? You know?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I'm sorry to say. It was just the first thing that popped into my head. Sorry.
Yeah, sure, sure,
yeah,
Robin.
But you know, you'd
sure.
get away with it easier.
Yeah, you're right. They probably accept that excuse a whole lot easier than, well, I'm a writer, and yeah, right.
Yeah.
I had to actually call up my webpage one time and say, look, see the picture? Me? Him?
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just
and
some
that makes
strange
sense.
Guy
get away. Yeah, just get away and get some quiet, peace and quiet, and go over what you've already written or whatever you might have kind of, you know, just your notes or whatever, and reflect on what you have and then work from there. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think of the story or I think of whatever I'm writing, and I sort of write it in my head first. And
mm-hmm.
when my head gets to bursting, then I have to get somewhere quiet and, you know, get it out and get it on the paper.
Get it out, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Hey, Robin, do you mind if we, I know you probably had a question, but do you mind if we take a call? Looks like we have a call here. It's on.
Oh, no, go ahead, of course.
And I will take this caller. This caller is from, hold on a second, let me slide my bar over here. Area code 208-459. You're on the Writer's Lounge with Robin, Tom, and Craig. You got a question or a comment for Craig?
Hello, Tom. I'd like to thank you for hosting Craig Murray, and I can verify that he is an author of Netherwood Books. My name's Brenilyn McIntyre, and I'm the executive editor of Netherwood Books.
Oh, well, welcome.
All right, cool.
I'm not sure why Amazon is printing Amazon Digital Services for Mr. Murray, but he is our author, and we sure love to have him.
I will make that correction on there, and I just want to let you know that if you go to the Amazon site where Craig's book is listed, it does show Amazon Digital Services. So maybe you can send off a nasty lawyer letter to them, letting them know that you deserve credit for that. So we appreciate that. And I will change the intro on my blog to reflect that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll be checking into it.
Okay.
I'm not giving you any more money.
Pardon?
I want another 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon's been kind of weird and glitchy lately, though. You're not the only person that I've heard comment about something similar to that, and then also some other issues that have been going on. So no, it's not really out of the realm of unbelievability as far as, I mean, we know, you know, I certainly accept that Craig is traditionally published and all that. It's kind of weird. You just got to get on that and let them know that they're, you know, it kind of sends a different kind of reflection. I'm sorry?
We have several of Mr. Murray's books right now.
Yeah.
So. Like I said, we will be checking into it and seeing why it's not reflecting Netherwood.
Very good. And what's your name again?
Brenilyn McIntyre.
Okay, Brenilyn, and would you be interested in taking my book on? No, I'm only kidding. I just figured since
we're
we had somebody
of,
if we had somebody of importance on, we could kind of pitch our books, Robin. But We really appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Something of importance other than me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You could go ahead and no, go ahead.
We're open for submissions, so please go ahead and submit.
Okay.
And hello, Mr. Murray.
Good evening.
We usually talk on email. It's nice to hear your voice for a change.
Yeah, send more money.
Ah.
Now, you know, I never call anyone. I did have...
Thank you, Brennan, for calling. Unless Craig had anything to say to you. Craig, you got anything to say to Brennan?
Oh, I'm sure we'll talk later on.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, and have a nice evening. And
thanks for calling in.
Letting me give my 2 cents worth.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Robin, you got a question for Craig?
Hold on, I'm sorry. Well, yes. No, my husband's in the background here. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm so easily distracted. My question, I guess, would be with social media being a huge part of people's lives these days, how has it affected you as a person or, you know, as a writer, like as far as do you use it for promotion, the different social media sites, or do you primarily use your own website?
For example,
yeah,
has been a wonderful opportunity that a lot of writers I know have been using to avoid writing.
Yeah, I know.
If you ever just want to avoid writing for a day, sit down and say, I'm not going online, I'm just going to write right after I check my email,
mm-hmm.
and right after I respond to these comments. And wonderfully, you can skip an entire day's worth of writing by,
easily.
You know, chatting pointlessly back and forth with people. I think it's a good tool. I don't use it as much or as well as I should. From a business standpoint, I certainly use it from a social standpoint. But I think it's a great way of connecting with some amazing people all over the world. And, you know, with every successive person met, there's another story. And everybody has, you know, their own story to tell, and just if we're smart enough to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, you do have a point there, not only just on Facebook, but on various writers' forums and message boards, whatever. The community does seem to be wide open, and people, other authors I know are usually willing to help pass on any, advice or info that they might have stumbled through and found a solution or a shortcut. And I mean, not that we should take shortcuts, but you know what I mean, as far as,
yes.
you know, this is what I did and I found that this was easier if you did it such and such a way. And even, you know, people who are, because self-publishing is becoming a huge deal right now. And, so anybody who has been traditionally published or even people who have self-published are willing to discuss back and forth different avenues and ways to not only get published, but different tricks and techniques. So, yeah. Do you Twitter?
Personally?
Yeah.
sometimes. You know,
Well, I don't know. Personally, or do you...
that's
are you a
personal twit? Comment, I think.
I can leave the room right now if you'd like. And
Twitter!
My doctor told me to stop twittering so much I'll go blind.
Yeah, right.
I originally started Twitter because with a joke from a friend, I was going to say absolutely nothing of any merit, in 140 characters. And then over the piece, you know, I've made the odd, tweet about different stories or different books. I know it's a much more powerful tool than I'm using it for. I think my brain's full. You know, I'm dealing with the stories and everything else, and it's just I my brain's all full up. I can't do anything else now.
Yeah.
Cool.
I have a Twitter account, too, and I don't think I've logged in months. It's been literally months.
Yeah.
I'm not a Twitter person. Some people they do use the social media more successfully, and some of us are just kind of, you know, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but some of us older folks tend to not use technology as much to our advantage as the younger peeps out there are doing. So, you know, I kind of understand what you're
Yeah.
With, you know, where you're going when you say that you don't use it as much as you should.
Yeah, it's also time management and let's be honest, later.
Yeah. Well, no, you could you get lost into internet things, and like you said, like you mentioned before, that you can lose a whole day so easily because you begin focusing on the Facebook, and well, nobody does MySpace anymore, but whatever, you know, and it's very easy to get lost in that and lose a lot of time. So that that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, completely. I had a bit of a funny thing that happened when I was writing the story. I'd never really dealt with any of the social services.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down to our local office, and it's very quiet. In fact, when I went there, I was the only person and the only non-employee there, and went up and said, I'm curious, how do you go about applying for any sort of help? And the woman behind the desk looks and she's like, well, why? I said, well, no, I'm just wondering about the information. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't tell you until you tell me why you want to know.
Wow. Did you tell me a writer?
So then I said, well, actually, I'm writing a story. Oh, look of complete panic, dread, terror, and she disappears. And a minute later, a manager appears. And he says, yes, sir, can I help you? And I said, I'm just wondering, how do you go about applying for any sort of assistance? Well, you're a writer, aren't you? Yes, I am. I can't tell you. I said, well, okay, I'm not asking for anything, you know, any state secret. If I just walk in and say, hi, I'd like some money, is there a process? You know, I can't tell you because you're a writer, you might say something bad about us.
Right.
And I said, okay,
well, that's
I'm
crazy.
Not down.
They
I'm not down doing an expose.
They could have just spelled it out to you. They could have spelled it out to you in facts. This is the process, like they would to anybody that was inquiring, what's the process that I have to go through? When I was in that situation, that's what the social service department did with me. He said, okay, this is what you need. These are the forms you need. This is who you got to go see. This is the agency that you have to go to. This is where the building's located. So I can't believe that they wouldn't talk to you about that. That's ridiculous.
They thought he was part of the media.
Absolutely.
And I said, I'm not writing about your operation. I'm just looking for the technical details.
Yeah.
No, I can't help. I said,
well,
so let me get this straight. When I leave here with no information, the only thing I can write is how bloody useless and stupid you were.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at me.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you're not giving me anything to the contrary.
Right. Well, there's a part in your story, Craig, where you did reference that, and I thought you did a magnificent job. And I was really caught up into that little story tagline because no matter what you tell somebody, they're going to believe otherwise. And once a person gets that set in their head, especially when they're talking to somebody who is mentally ill or homeless, you know, I mean, you run into those things all the time, and nobody wants to listen to you, no matter what you tell them. I mean, I've experienced that firsthand, and it's just, pardon the pun, but it's absolutely crazy. But getting back to Andrew, and if you were like Andrew and you were homeless, I was just wondering, what would be the one material thing that you think you would value the most?
You know, I thought about that, and, you know, the sort of idiot answer is to say money, because you realize that you can be a nobody, you can be a lunatic. If you have money, you're fine.
Yes.
And we base our value of people and our value of things on a dollar value, nothing, you know, more valuable than that. I think when I started writing the story and I started thinking about what would be important to Andrew and what he would need, a lot of it came down to, you know, the basics of life. That can he eat? Can he stay, you know, protected from the elements? Can he have a safe place to go? And you start to realize how minimal the things are that you need, but how fantastically important they are. And
like
it's a curious...
Like, for instance, getting a can of food and not having a can opener to open it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, all the things that we take for granted, or just the ability to just heat something. I can grab a can, throw it in a bowl, throw it in the microwave, and 2 minutes from now I'm fed.
Yeah.
And when those things are gone, it's a bigger loss than just not having a can of food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's having a can of self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yep.
I don't know how some people do it, plain and simply.
Wow.
You know, I think there's, and it's not even saying how they do it, you know, by choice or anything else like that, but just how you wouldn't go mad with anxiety, you know, within days of it happening to you.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So.
Robin, we got another phone call here. Would you mind taking another phone call, Craig?
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Okay, area code 208-459. You're on the Writer's Lounge with Tom, Robin, and Craig. You got a question or comment?
Yeah, it's me. I've been listening to Craig, and you just hung up on me. This is Brenlyn.
Oh, you're still there.
And he keeps going through for some reason.
Oh, wow. Well... You had another
comment. But I'm enjoying the interview, and I really appreciate it.
Okay. You got anything else to say to Craig?
No, other than the fact that he is an amazing and wonderful author, and it's really great having him on board.
Okay. All right, well, stay on the line. I won't hang up on you this time. You stay right there where you're at.
Okay. Thank you.
What I'll do is I will not hang up on you, but I will mute you. I'll mute you from talking, but you can still listen.
Oh, I always wanted to be muted.
Okay. Well, we're going to mute you. There she is. She's...
Oh, when the old women had that button.
Yeah.
Don't you wish you always had a mute button somewhere? Oh, my goodness. It's nice, though, that she... No, go
Robin,
ahead.
Robin, you got another question?
Oh, no, I was just commenting that it is nice that actually the comments that she made about Craig, it's always good to have that kind of support and backing, you know, to keep you motivated to want to write. And although The Forgotten Man is actually out and, you know, available, my next question, I guess, would be, are there any future plans? Is there going to be a series, or is this a standalone?
I'd never thought of it as being anything more than a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually up until Tom had made that, posed that question to me, and I thought, I wonder. And I don't know if... You know, if I could make a story where he either slides into the normalcy of life, which would be, you know, intensely boring, as we all know, or does something even, you know, equally bizarre, you know, continue to happen. So I think I'll have to mull that over for a couple of years and see
if
I can make anything worthwhile.
Yeah, Craig, without revealing too much of the story, and I won't do this, but as you know, there were some questions that... weren't answered in that story, and I was wondering, that's one of the reasons why I wondered if you were going to continue the series. So I'm looking forward to seeing where you're going to go with that. You know, nothing to take away from the story. You did a fantastic job with that.
Well, thank you.
What does Craig Murray do for fun besides writing there up in Canada?
Chase polar bears, you know, trap beavers, the usual Canadian things.
Moose. better than chasing frozen zombies, right, Robin?
Yeah.
No, frozen zombies would be so awesome. Like, don't even knock that. You know you would love it.
They'd be slow moving at least, right?
Yeah.
So, no, they're completely stiff. That's the beauty of it. You could just stand right next to them and kind of play around with them a little bit before you knock their blocks off. So,
hit them with a tuning fork, maybe.
You know, you could tell I'm really thick in the head with these things.
What do I do for fun? Well, let's see. Work, eat, sleep, write. Work, eat, sleep, write.
Drive down to the lake and watch porn.
Yeah, I go down to the lake and watch porn.
There you go.
Sometimes I film my own. I do like to travel. I love going, you know, as far and as often as I can. And a whole lot of my time really is just consumed with working. I like to build things, and I draw and things like that. So if I'm not working, I'm, you know, either writing or blaming myself for not writing.
Very good.
And the drawing, the artwork and stuff, you know, it's kind of all related anyways. It's all kind of left brain stuff. You know, I've made a similar an analogy that people who write, it's just another form of expressing your creativity. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who write generally, I've noticed, you know, a higher number, the balance kind of sways more to the side of writers being very artistic people, either, you know, sketching, drawing, painting, music, you name it, you know, poetry. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
you're supporting my theory.
Well, it's a good one then, isn't it?
I guess.
Very good one. So, Craig, we've got about 3 minutes left here, and we want to wrap it up, but it's been a great show. We were wondering if you could tell everybody where to find you on the World Wide Web.
Well, I'm on Facebook, of course, at facebook.com/ Craig Murray Writes, and you can find me there. I also have my own Facebook page on there. Netherwood Books is also on Facebook and at netherwoodbooks.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at my seriously out-of-date website. I know that I did some changes to it maybe a decade ago, of cmurray.com. So
okay.
I'm everywhere.
Very good. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. And, Craig, it's been a fantastic interview or talk. I don't even like to call it interview anymore. It's more of a talk. Wouldn't you agree, Robin?
Yeah, it's definitely – I mean, we – tonight's show especially was a perfect example of the whole, like, free flow of ideas and discussion.
Yeah.
And I really do. It is a discussion and not really an interview. That's
yeah,
what it feels like. So,
well, we're sitting around in a lounge. This is what it's all about.
Yeah,
that's so
it. That's the whole concept right there.
Relaxing and just talking and having a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a wonderful time, and I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank both of you.
And
if there's anything else I can do, you know where
and
I am.
Craig, do me a favor and send me a message on Facebook and give me the correct, you know, your publisher's address so I can make that correction. We want to make sure that gets up on the blog for the review.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic, I will.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, sir, and we hope that you will continue Andrew's life and look forward to his life, hopefully, continuing, and we hope that you doesn't do another reset, and we hope you don't do a reset. So with that, we say goodbye to you, my friend, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye, Craig.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay there, Robin. We've got
uh-huh.
a few minutes or seconds left here, and I'd like to invite everybody next week to come and listen to Brian Anderson and his son Jonathan as they talk about the Godling Chronicles. And Robin, he is from your backyard. He's in New Jersey, so it should be a fun time to do.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Yeah. So we'll see you all next week. And remember, good writing and good reading and good writing. I kind of screwed that up, but that's why we're human, right, Robin?
That's right. That's right.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye.
today. Your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. One beautiful morn, he said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun peeking. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather.